What does it take to please the Lord? Well, that list is long, to be sure. We could spend the rest of the time just listing things that please the Lord according to His Word. But there is a passage in the Old Testament that at first brush sounds a little odd. And yet there is something buried in this passage that really tells us one of the many things that pleases the Lord that is deeply significant to us. So I would like to invite you to turn with me to Numbers chapter 7. Numbers chapter 7. And while you're turning, let me talk about the placement of this chapter for just a second. In the book of Numbers, we have the preparation for the journey into the promised land. Now, they don't make it to the into the promised land in the book of Numbers or even Deuteronomy. That doesn't happen until we get to the book of Joshua. But in these opening chapters of Numbers, they are preparing at Sinai to go enter the land. They get to Kadesh Barnea and decide they don't want to go, and they end up wandering in the wilderness, as you know. What's happening in Numbers chapter 7 is technically, chronologically, out of order. It's placed here, for some reason, at the beginning now. We're going to start the journey into the Promised Land, at least toward the Promised Land from Sinai. But the presentation in this chapter really took place at the dedication of the tabernacle, which goes all the way back to Leviticus chapter 8. So this passage is not in chronological order, and for some reason it's placed here in the text, and I'm not sure why. It is simply offering things to the Lord to dedicate the tabernacle to Him. And as we shall see, what is dedicated to Him are six wagons, and then the 12 tribes, those wagons are divided up. One third of the Levites get two wagons, another gets four wagons. Some tribes get no wagons because the wagons were carrying the tabernacle furniture. And now we know why this chapter's in this place. We're beginning the journey, and we now know we have wagons to carry the tabernacle into the promised land. Some didn't need wagons because, remember, they had poles and they carried the furniture by those poles, but the wagons were used for carrying the tabernacle. The other thing I would say about this chapter is that the longest chapter in the Bible is, do you know? Psalm 119. What is the second longest chapter in the Bible? Numbers chapter 7. So, I figure this will take us about 2 hours to get through. This is the second longest chapter in the whole Bible. Now, what is happening is this is a record of what happened over a period of 12 days. Each tribe gave an offering to the Lord one day at a time. So what's really going on here is they each came one day on the first day, second tribe on the second day, the third tribe on the third day, and they presented the offering. So it took 12 days. What gets repetitious in this chapter is that they all gave exactly the same thing. As a matter of fact, reading this chapter really gets laborious and tedious because it is just a repetition of the same thing over and over and over and over and over and did you get the point? and over again. Now, what do you make of that before we look at the content? What's the point of everybody giving the same thing? Well, I'm not sure, but one commentator suggested that each tribe offered the exact same gift to demonstrate that no one tribe was superior or inferior to any of the others. Each had an equal privilege and responsibility before the Lord to serve Him. And in that sense, they all participated at the same level. Interesting. All right, so we got the dedication of the tabernacle, which took place before this chronologically, but it's placed here probably because it contains the wagons that are taking the tabernacle forward from Sinai. With that in mind, look at verse 1. Now it came to pass when Moses had finished setting up the tabernacle. That's how we know the chronological order of this. That's back in Exodus 40, verse 17. That he anointed it and consecrated it and all its furnishings and the altar and all its utensils. So he anointed them and consecrated them. Now I have gone into this before and I'm not going to labor it now, but this is only a month prior to this that the tabernacle was dedicated. So a month earlier to this, they actually performed what's in this chapter. Verse 2 says, then the leaders of Israel, the heads of the fathers' houses, those who were leaders of the tribes and those who were numbered, made an offering. And that's the point, that we are dedicating the tabernacle. He says that in verse 1. And they're going to do it by making an offering. The names of all these people have already been given. They were given back in chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, and in chapter 2. So this is telling us this is the dedication, and the leaders are going to make an offering. Verse 3, and they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered carts and 12 oxen, a cart for each 2 of the leaders, and each one an ox, and they presented them before the tabernacle. All right, this is important, so let's pause here for just a second. The total offering of the 12 days consisted of 6 carts and 12 ox. Now, the 6 carts were for two tribes got one cart, but each tribe got the offering of an oxen. So that's what's spelled out here. He says in verse 4, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, accept these from them, that they may be used in doing the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall give them to the Levites, to every man according to his service. Now this is getting into focus. We're going to dedicate the tabernacle by each tribe giving an oxen, and then the tribes together are going to give 6 wagons, and now we're told that they are for the service of the Levites to carry the tabernacle. So he says in verse 6, so Moses took the carts and the oxen and gave them to the Levites. 2 carts and 4 carts he gave to the sons of Gershon, according to their service. And 4 carts and 8 oxen he gave to the son of Merari, according to their service, under the authority of Issachar, the son of Aaron the priest. But to the sons of Kohath he gave none, because theirs were the service of the holy thing which they carried on their shoulders. In other words, those parts of the tabernacle that had those rods in them didn't need a cart. They put those rods on their shoulders and they carried the altar of burnt offering, the table of showbread, the altar of incense and the mercy seat. All those had rods in them, and they carried those pieces of furniture. Now, all of that is the introduction. What follows in the rest of this chapter primarily are laying out the 12 days where each tribe gave an offering. And it's spelled out in great detail, but every tribe gave the same offering. So each tribe is mentioned, and the same offering is repeated verbatim in every case. So let's look at the first day. It begins in verse 10. Then the leaders offered the dedication offering for the altar when it was anointed, so that the leaders offered their offering before the altar. For the Lord said to Moses, "They shall offer their offering one leader each day for the dedication of the altar." Now, we're going to go through these. According to verse 12, the first tribe is the tribe of Judah. And then beginning in verse 13, he spells out the offering. But before we look at the offering, let me just say, the first tribe is Judah. Now, if you've been with me since we started the book of Numbers, do you remember way back at the beginning, we situated the tribes around the tabernacle? The order of this chapter follows the order of the tribe's placement around the tabernacle. So the first is Judah. Now, I want to read verses 13 to 17. This is the offering. I want to focus on the offering. Now, this is the offering that each of the 12 tribes is going to give. In what follows, in every case, we have the leader and the offering. The leader and the offering. Well, the leader isn't important. You don't know any of these people. What is important is the offering. So in this case, I want to read it. I'm not going to read it the other 11 times, but this time I want to read it. Look at verse 13. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. Both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering. One gold pan of 10 shekels, full of incense, one young bull, one ram, one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, and for the sanctuary of peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male rams in their first year. Did you get all that? Now, when I read that, my question was, wow, that's a lot of stuff. Gold, silver, animals, wow. Now, maybe this is just the way I think, but I wondered, what did all of this cost? Did that occur to you as I was reading this? Well, this took a little digging, but here's what I found out. The 130 shekels of silver weighed about 52 ounces. Now, how much is an ounce of silver? When I first studied this book, which was several years ago, I looked this up. And according to my notes, I don't know what year I did this, it's been a while, it was $5 an ounce. I did it this week. Somebody gave me as a gift Alexa. Do you know who Alexa is? Yes. You know, Google's, you can ask Alexa anything. So I'm sitting in my desk at home and I said, "Hey Alexa, how much is an ounce of silver?" And she said, $15. Ah. So if we got 52 ounces at $15 an ounce, how much is that? 780 bucks. Ah, we're making progress. All right, That's $780 bucks for the 130 shekels of silver. Then it says there's 70 shekels of a silver bowl that weighed 28 ounces. So $15 an ounce, that's $780. Then there are 10 shekels of a gold pan that weighed 4 ounces. So I said, Alexa, how much is gold? And by the way, if you ask her, she will tell you down to the penny at that minute, because the price of these things fluctuate. I was surprised that it was $15 even. Gold, when I asked her this week, not today, the other day, it was $1,388.95. I know somebody who bought gold at $2,000 an ounce. Guess what? They lost some money. All right, so the other, and I'm sure the price, if I had asked her today, would be different by a few pennies or whatever. But 4 ounces at $1,388.95 is $5,555.80. Now, are you adding all this up?
No.
Nobody broke out their calculator. All right, went a little fast. Let me just tell you what the total was for this just one tribe. Want to guess? Well, I've already told you the big number. $6,754.84. That's one tribe. And that's just the gold and silver. That doesn't include the animals. I asked Alexa what the price of a goat was, or whatever the list is, and she didn't know. So Alexa doesn't know everything yet. She will someday, probably, but she didn't know that. The point I'm making is this is an expensive offering. This is pretty generous. And every tribe gave exactly the same amount of money, valued at that. Now, where did they get that kind of money? Where did they get that kind of gold and silver? Any guesses?
Egypt.
Remember when they left Egypt? The Egyptians gave them all their jewelry. So they, what have you got that you haven't received, Paul says. They received this from the Egyptians and they just generously gave it to the Lord. They didn't have to. They just gave it to the Lord as a dedication for the tabernacle. That's the first day. Now that precise thing is repeated 11 more times. The only thing that's different is the name of the leader, which is of no great significance to us. I think the tribes are more important than the leader of the tribes, because we never hear of these leaders much at all. So, in Numbers chapter 7, verses 18 through 19, we're given the tribe of Issachar. And I can read it all to you, but the offering is exactly like the first day. The third day, which is in Numbers chapter 7, verse 24 to 29, the offering is from Zebulus, and it is exactly the same thing. On the fourth day, in chapter 7, verse 30 through 35, the offering is from the tribe of Reuben, and it is exactly the same thing. The fifth day, in 7:36 through 41, it is from Simeon, and it is exactly the same thing. On the sixth day, we're down to chapter 7, verse 42 to verse 47, and it's Gath, same thing. In chapter 7, verse 48 through 53, it's Ephraim, same offering. Eighth day, aren't you glad I'm not reading all of these? All right, You'll be satisfied with the summary?
Yes.
Good. Verse 54 to 55, Manasseh. Guess what? Same exact offering. Verse 60 to 65, it's Benjamin. Same exact offering. Verse 66 to verse 71, it's the tribe of Dan. And sure enough, it's the same exact offering. Then in verse 72 to 77, it is Asher. Same exact offering. Then in chapter 7, verses 78 through 83, it's Naphtali, and it's the same monotonous repetition of a generous offering. And the generosity of that offering, it has been suggested, was a delight to the Lord. And is recorded here, surely he was delighted in their offering. Now, there are still more verses. Matter of fact, this doesn't end here. It goes to verse 89. At this point, he gives us the totals. So let's pick up the story at verse 84. This was the dedication offering for the altar of the leaders of Israel when it was anointed. 12 silver platters, 12 silver bowls, and 12 gold pans. Each silver platter weighed 130 shekels, and each bowl 70 shekels. All the silver of the vessels weighed 2,400 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. The gold, 12 gold pans full of incense weighed 10 shekels apiece, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. All the gold pans weighed 120 shekels. And that's verse 86. So, all he's doing is giving us the totals. Verse 85. Each of the 12 silver plates and each of the 12 bowls, it's 130 shekels and 70 shekels. That's a total of, if you took the 12 tribes, 130 and 70 is 200 shekels. And that's for each tribe, and there are 12 tribes. So 200 times 12 is 2,400, and at the price of silver, that's $72,000. Then we got to kick in more here. Each of the gold plates in verse 86 weighed 10 shekels apiece, making a total of 120 shekels of gold. That weighed 4 ounces. And you remember that was $5,500.80. So multiply that, that's 4 ounces at 12 tribes, so it's 48 ounces of gold. That's somewhere around $1,388 an ounce. That's $66,669.60. The silver is 72,000, which I already mentioned. So the grand total, excuse me, of just the silver and the gold, all 12 tribes, was $138,669.60 in today's dollars. Wow. That just strikes me as a huge amount of money. $138,000. A little more than that. And we're not done. That's just the silver and the gold. So, look at verse 87. All the oxen of the burnt offerings were 12 young bulls. the rams 12, the male lambs in their first year 12, and their grain offering, and the kids of the goats of a sin offering 12, and all the oxen of the sacrifice of peace offering were 24 bulls, and the rams 60, and the male goat 60, and the lambs of the first year 60. This was the dedication offering for the altar after it was anointed. And I didn't have any way to check out the price of animals, so I didn't pursue it. But the total number of animals, according to this passage, included 12 young bulls of oxen, 12 rams, 12 first-year male lambs with their grain offering, 12 kids of the goats as a sin offering, 24 bulls of oxen for a peace offering, 60 rams, 60 male goats, and 6 first-year rams, all for the dedication of the altar. That's enormous. What farmer wouldn't like to have that, or herdsman? Then it says in verse 89, "Now, when Moses went into the tabernacle of meeting to speak with him, he heard the voice of one speaking to him from above the mercy seat that was on the ark of the testimony from between the two cherubims, and thus he spoke to him." Now, Moses heard the Lord speak to him from above the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies in an audible voice. This is not some voice in his heart. It's he heard an audible voice. There are commentators who argue that the fact that Moses heard God's voice speaking to him from the most holy place indicates God's acceptance of these gifts. So they dedicate the tabernacle with all of these gifts, and the Lord says, "I like it." That's basically what's going on. "I'm pleased." Matter of fact, one commentator says these gifts touched his heart. He was so pleased. Moses, as a representative of the nation, and God, in Moses and God, enjoyed this close relationship. And so the Lord said to Moses, "I'm happy." The Lord then was pleased over this generous gift of the 12 tribes. And that sort of sums up this chapter. I have to tell you that I just broke one of my records. I want to talk about this for just a second. This is important. Most people study the Bible by verses. You know? If I mention something in the Bible, you know the verse. Right? Yeah, hopefully, yeah. All right. You know those verses were put in much later. Even the chapters were put in much later. So there's a sense in which chopping the Bible up like that is a very bad idea. A very bad idea. What is the normal, natural division of written material? The sentence and the paragraph. So, matter of fact, some modern translations are printing them in paragraphs and making the numbers very small. Drives me crazy because I'm now so used to the verses. But they have a point that the natural thought pattern is sentence, paragraph, and chapter. Well, the Bible gets chopped up in all kinds of ways, and in the New Testament, the chapters aren't necessarily corresponding to a chapter. So in the Old Testament, it's better, but not in the New Testament. So, when I was in seminary, and I went to a seminary who's noted for teaching people how to teach the Bible, this was their thing, still is. And I learned Greek, And then what do? You don't focus on paragraphs, and you don't focus on chapters. You don't even focus on sentences. You focus on words. And I think after going through that rigorous 4 years of that, I got out of seminary, and I had a tendency to focus on words and then the verse. And it didn't take me long to say, hey, wait a minute. Wait a second, we ought to be studying the Bible by paragraphs. Now, if you followed my advice and bought a New King James Version of the Bible, they note the beginning of a paragraph by printing that verse in bold print. So if you've got a New King James translation and the paragraph begins at verse 7, the number 7, or say 1-7, will be in bold print. The others will be in normal type. So I decided I'm going to go through the Bible by paragraphs. And so I did something like go through James. Well, the first paragraph's 12 verses. And then I get down to verse 19 and 20, and it's a paragraph, 2 verses. And I am so committed to understanding the Bible by paragraphs that when I preach paragraph. Now, that got me in trouble once. There's a unit. Now, sometimes in a story is a unit, a literary unit. A paragraph is a literary unit, but if you're telling a story, you may have more than one paragraph, but you want the whole story, so you got to do more paragraphs. I went through the Gospel of John, and I hit John chapter 6. Somebody look up John chapter 6 and tell me how many verses are in John chapter 6. I was so committed to teaching the Bible by its natural literary units. I went through the Gospel of John years ago, and I preached the whole chapter. How many verses is it? It's over 71. How many? 71. The most verses I've ever covered in a single sermon up until tonight was 71. I just broke my record. This chapter has what? 80? 89. I just broke my record. I can now say I covered 89 verses in less than 89 minutes. All right. My point in telling you all of that is you really need to be aware of the paragraph or the whole unit of the story. So there was a purpose for me doing all that. Now, the sum of this chapter is that when the children of Israel gave generously for the dedication of the altar, the Lord was pleased. He spoke to Moses and no doubt said, I like it. I'm glad you did that. Now, what is our takeaway from all of this? You going to remember the price of gold and silver? Not likely. So let me make a couple of suggestions. The first suggestion ought to be that we ought to be generous. We just ought to be generous. You agree with that? One commentator said, the purpose of this section of narrative is to show that the people had been generous in giving as the people had been generous in the giving of the construction of the tabernacle, that's in Exodus 35. Now they show the same generosity in its dedication. So this isn't the first time they've done this. They gave generously to get the thing constructed. And now they come back and give generously to the dedication. I would like to submit to you that the Lord gives generously. Years ago, it struck me. Have you been to see the flowers this year? Just north of LA? If you, you know what I'm talking about? What are the flowers? Help me, Nyla.
Poppies.
Have you ever seen the poppy fields?
On television.
I actually 1 year went out to see them. By the way, they're complaining that so many people are going out to see them, they're trampling them down or something. That's the complaint this year. But you look at all of that, here it is, out in the middle of nowhere. And God just generously showers the side of this hill with flowers. And I looked at it and thought, that's the way the Lord works, just generously. Have you ever gone scuba diving? Have you ever seen all the fish that are under the sea that are just, I mean, it is unbelievably, the variety is amazing. And he buries it in the water. We don't see it unless you make a special effort to go down there and look at it. That's the way God gives. He just gives abundantly, generously. And of course, the same thing is true spiritually. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, and we complain. But we should be aware he is generous. James says, and he gives more grace. So he does. God generously gives. Now, what he wants us to do is to be generous. He wants us to be like him, and that means to be generous. Only let me add a caveat. I think this chapter is teaching they were generous and that we ought to be generous. But I think knowing the rest of the scripture as I do, I think we need to add something to that. God wants us to be generous out of gratitude. Amen. He doesn't want you just to grudgingly give. He wants you to give out of gratitude. Matter of fact, concerning this very chapter, somebody has said, the offering of the leaders then was the spontaneous response of grateful hearts to the goodness and grace of God. That, I think, really puts its finger on this, that God wants us to be grateful in our giving. They spontaneously gave, no doubt, out of gratitude. Now, in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, God wants us to do just that. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 for a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And he says, verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly, he's a miser, will reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That's generous giving. Then he says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And the word translated cheerful is hilarious. So verse 6 is saying, be generous. And verse 7 is saying, and do it with the right attitude. Be grateful. Be joyful. I have sometimes said the receiving of the offering is the funnest. Is that a word? The funnest part of the service. We ought to do this cheerfully. Wow, we get to give. Pass the plate. That ought to be the attitude. Now, if you get that down, look at the next verse. He says in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance of every good work. In other words, he's saying, boy, what I've been trying to say in Numbers chapter 7, be generous with the right attitude and God's going to be pleased. And let me tell you about his pleasure. You please the Lord in being generous with your time, with your money, with whatever ability you have. And it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That's how pleased he is. So, what a lesson. They gave enormous amounts of material, and the Lord was pleased with that. Now, I was trying to think of an illustration. Isn't this just like every parent? I mean, children are born selfish. Did you ever notice?
Yes.
Children have to be taught to give. Right? So what happens? Mother walks in someday and sees this little creature that's selfish to the core give something to a sibling, and what's mother's response? Wow! Just as a mother or father is pleased when a small child learns to give, so our Heavenly Father is pleased when he sees us give. Not done. Got one more little observation. He laboriously, tediously recorded every gift. Wouldn't it have been easier for Moses to say, and here's what they gave, and each of the tame tribes gave the same thing? I did it. I mean, wouldn't Moses do that? No. The other observation that comes out of that is this. You give, God is pleased, and God notices. God notices. So you can fool people, but you can't fool the Lord. And he sees it and is pleased with it. Somebody has said the fact that God noted and recorded each name and every gift indicates his love for and interest in individual believers. He knows our name. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. Remember John chapter 10? And has recorded them individually in his heavenly register. There are verses that indicate that. When we stand before the Lord, he will see us individually. And then every man will have the praise of God. 1 Corinthians 4. And every man shall receive his own reward for his labor. 1 Corinthians 3. No one will be overlooked. Nobody will be lost in the crowd. End of quote. So here's the lesson, the takeaway from this really repetitious chapter. They were generous with the right attitude, and God noticed, and God is pleased. I know of something that happened recently, and to my knowledge, there are only 3 people on this planet that know about it, possibly 4. I didn't get anybody's permission to tell this story. I almost always do that, but I'm going to tell it in such a way you couldn't possibly figure it out. I know a lady, a young lady, that my wife has had an enormous impact on. Recently, that young lady decided, out of the blue, my wife wasn't expecting this, to give my wife a gift. And before she could get it to her, She saw another situation where it would be appropriate to give that gift to somebody else. Now, my wife is the one that told me the story. And she said, she came to me and said, I bought you this gift. I had planned to give it to you. I saw another situation where I thought it would be appropriate for me to give it to somebody else. And I thought to myself, what would Patricia do? She said, I didn't even have to think about it. And I gave your gift away. Now, let me tell you, you'd have to know Patricia to really fully appreciate this. That thrilled her to death. That was so much better than her getting the gift. She was so pleased that that young lady figured out that's what Patricia would do. Well, the reason I told that story is I think that's the way the Lord looks at this. He sees it and says, wow. Sometimes when we give somebody else something, the Lord says, I'm so pleased. I'm going to bless you. Because God is pleased with grateful, generous givers. Father, thank you. Thank you for giving to us and being an example for us and teaching us that to be like your son, to be like you, we need to be generous, grateful givers. In Jesus' name.